We are doing Pirkei Avot, and we're up to the sixth chapter. The sixth chapter is really Braitot, and this is in many editions. This is the beginning of the second Mishnah. Amar Rabbi Yoshua ben Levi. Rabbi Yoshua ben Levi said the following: Bechol yom vayom, every day, bat kol yotzet mehar choreb, a heavenly voice comes out of Mount Sinai, umachrezet, and announces, veomeret, and says the following: Oy lahem labriyot me'elbona shel Torah. Woe to the creatures, to God's creations, from the shame of the Torah. We said in the previous Mishnah that whoever learns Torah gets all kinds of benefits. It helps him grow in many ways in his life. And sometimes we see it seems the opposite. People are learning Torah and we don't see that they got it. So Rabbi Yoshua ben Levi tells us, why is it that people can be learning Torah and they don't gain all the benefits of the previous Mishnah? Because of Elbona shel Torah, the shame of the Torah. What's the shame of the Torah? A guy's learning Torah, and as he's focused trying to figure something out, he decides he's going to make a phone call, send an SMS message. What's he saying to the Torah? I know you're important, but other things are also important. A guy's learning Torah, and in the middle, he decides he's going to go do other things. Or in everything he does, he's not making the most. He's not investing his best effort to learning Torah. So that's called the shame of the Torah. He's indicating that the Torah is not so important to him. So Rabbi Yoshua ben Levi is coming to explain, why is it that people don't get these benefits we said in the previous Mishnah? We said the Torah gives a person all these benefits. Well, the heavenly voice declares woe to the people from the shame of the Torah. People are shaming the Torah where they could be learning. They're indicating that the Torah isn't as important to them. Shekol mi she'eino osek batorah. Whoever does not deal in Torah the way he should, he doesn't invest his strength the way he should in learning Torah, nikra nazuf. He is referred to as someone who has been yelled at by his father in heaven. Nazuf is a person who is like shamed from being yelled at. So, when a person sees that he's not getting all the blessings that should come with the Torah, he has to know that they're upset at him in Shemayim. So a person will say, but I'm learning Torah. So the answer is, yeah, but it's not the way it should be. Shenemar, as the verse says in Mishlei. The verse has a beautiful mashal, a beautiful allegory. Nezim zahav, a gold nose ring, be'af chazir, in the nose of a pig. What does the pig do with it? Pig sticks its nose throughout the mud. That's how he has his fun during the day. He keeps snorting through the mud. Well, if he has a gold nose ring, people will start yelling at him. Hey, what are you doing? You're getting it all dirty. Isha yafa, so too, is a beautiful woman, visarat ta'am. And her intelligence is up. So, just like the nose ring. You look at the nose ring, you say, boy, it's beautiful. It's on the nose of the pig. What does he do with it? He snorts through the mud and he gets it all filthy. You have a person that was given beauty, it's beautiful, until you see what they do with it. Visarata, they're not acting intelligently, then it's destroyed like the nose ring on the nose of the pig. This is an allegory. A person was granted intelligence. A person was granted potential. A person has the capacity to grow. What's he going to do with his intelligence, with his time, with his heart? It's like the nose ring. It's like the beauty that was given to a woman. If he is intelligent and he uses it wisely, so then it's nezim zahav, it's a nose ring, it's a beautiful ring, but it's used properly. But if not, so then it's like it was put in a pig. He's getting it all dirty. Now, Chazal tell us that when you want to look in the world, who's the weakest person in the world? The weakest are the Jews. We're compared to the moon. The sun has its own energy, it has its own light. The moon is only reflecting the light of the sun. Chazal tell us that you want to know who's weak among the Jews? Look at Talmidei Chachamim. The people who learn Torah, they're weak among the Jews. Why? Because the person who learns Torah, the Torah weakens his strength. The second the person agrees to learn Torah, it weakens his strength. You know? Right, and what does the Gemara continue with that? What's the Gemara's example? But the Gemara is talking about an attitude. The Gemara isn't talking about physical strength. That's the examples the Gemara gives. We're talking about, of course, in a person's mind, in his attitude, he has to be strong. We're talking about physical strength. When Rish Lakish was the head of the bandits, so he chases after Rav Yochanan, and he could leap across the river. The second he agrees to learn Torah, he cannot leap back. Right, that's true. That's true. Sometimes Hashem gives both. Right. There are people who got both. Right? Right? There's room to discuss that, how it worked with David HaMelech. David HaMelech, when he's eulogizing Yonatan, he says, now that Yonatan is dead, Vayomer lelamed et bnei Yehuda kashet eloi ktuba al sefer hayashar. Said, now we have to teach the tribe of Yehuda how to shoot bow and arrow. And beforehand, they went to war without learning how to shoot. So you could say it's all a eulogy. But Chazal seemed to say there's more to it, that when a person's on a certain level, he can succeed at wars even though he isn't training. And David was given supernatural strength, yeah. Yeah, that's also true. There were people who were given supernatural strength. Yaakov Avinu, right? So, when a person is learning Torah, he's naturally weakened. And the only chance a person has at succeeding in the world, if he's a Jew, and especially if he's learning Torah, is because Hashem is watching over him, if he has Hashgacha. The second that Hashem takes away that Hashgacha, so then what's he left with? He's left with the situation that he's a Jew, a naturally weak person, and if he's been learning Torah, then he's been weakened even more. So then, a person who has the capacity to learn, he starts learning, he's weakened. Now, does he take it to the point he should? So then he'll get the blessings of the previous Mishnah. If he goes halfway, so then he's gotten halfway, it's worth something. But on the other hand, he's also vulnerable because he doesn't get the blessings of the previous Mishnah, but he does get weakened by what he's learned. And the example of Isha Yafa V'Sarat Tam, so that's like a woman who was given beautiful jewelry by her husband, she's beautiful, and then she goes and lets it all get dirty and get lost. So he tells him, hey, what are you doing? Her husband tells her, don't let the jewelry get lost. You see a pig wallowing through the mud with a gold nose ring, you yell at him to get the ring out of the mud. By the same token, when a person is given the intelligence and the capacity to learn Torah and he does not, so that's what Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi said. You want to know why people don't always get the blessings we said in the previous Mishnah? That's a reminder from heaven. Hey, get out of the mud. Get out of what you're doing. Get back to learning Torah. The Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, he says, the heavenly voice that comes out of Har Sinai every day, so there are many Gemaras that discuss different heavenly voices that say different things every day. This one of them is that in Shemayim they cry every day over different things. This one says, woe to the people from the shame of the Torah. A person who doesn't delve in Torah, he's called Nazuf. Nazuf is also a shortening of Nezem Zahav Be'af Chazir. That's like short for Nazuf is short for that. And that's this concept, that the pig who has a gold nose ring, you yell at him, tell him, take the nose ring out of the mud. By the same token, a person who's learning Torah, but he's not reaching his capacity, so then from heaven, so to speak, they yell at him, they give him the message, hey, get your nose out of the mud. Now, a person might say, okay, so I'm not learning enough Torah, but You know, life is fun. The Gemara has a term, avda be'efkeira nichale. The slave, even though he's a slave, he enjoys this free life. In Chazal's time, a slave was given the shpachot. They had a house of male slave, a house of female slaves, and the men would, every night, they'd go around from one shifat to another, whoever wanted him. And the Gemara says, if you want to free a slave, sometimes he doesn't want to go free. Because when he goes free, he becomes a full-fledged Jew. And he says, you know what? When I was a slave, it was much more fun. Every night I could do what I wanted with all the girls. And avda be'efker anichale. Gemara has this term that a slave likes the life of a slave in that regard. So why a person reads the Mishnah and he says, okay, I understand. If I learn Torah really well, I get the blessings of Mishnah Aleph. If I learn Torah mediocre, well, then I get the problems of Mishnah Bet. But at the end of the day, you know what? It's not so bad. I prefer being a free man. Let me do what I want. I learn Torah. Torah suddenly tells me what to do. People tell you you're carrying a nose ring. People tell you what you have is gold, and you have to be more careful with it. It's more convenient not to be careful with it. Why do I have to worry about the gold? Why do I have to worry about the Torah? So that's why the Mishnah continues and says, Ve'omer, and the verse says, Ve'haluchot ma'asei Elohim heima, Ve'amichtav mechtav Elohim hu. The Torah describes the Luchos, the two tablets, as a godly work, and the writing on the Luchos was godly writing, Charut al haluchot, engraved into the tablets. So our sages had a tradition. Al tikra charut. Don't read the words as though they say they are engraved into the tablets. Ela chayrut, but rather read them that they are freedom through the tablets. She'en lecha ben chorin, ela mi she'osek b'talmud Torah. You do not have a free person other than the person who is delving and learning Torah. What does that mean? You ask the man on the street, he tells you, you learn Torah, suddenly you can't turn on a light on Shabbos, you can't just go hang out with girls at the bars. Life is different once you start learning Torah. That's not freedom. We once had a guy who was used to stealing. He'd go to stores and he'd walk out of the stores and some of the stuff ended up in his pocket. And we talked to him and he said, yeah, I want to get out of it. It's really a bad thing. I'm not a kleptomaniac. I've been to psychologists. I checked it out. I'm not. But you know, it's just so enticing. You know, why should I work hard and pay for the gum? They have over there gum on the racks, and no one knows the difference. I've mastered holding it in my hands and flipping it into wherever I flip it into, and no one knows the difference. And you know, come on, you got to know. He had all kinds of logical reasonings. They factor it into the price. They know some people shoplift, so they charge everyone else more. They're not going to charge less just because I stopped shoplifting. So he had all kinds of logical reasons why. But Baruch Hashem, okay, he learned at Mahon Meir, and at one point he realized that it's wrong. Right? It's stealing. People have all kinds of excuses. But it is stealing. It's like the guy who's learning in a sefer from Mahon Meir, and he bends a page and he rips a page. He says, okay, it's the Mahons. It's not okay. It's stealing just like if it were an individual's. Maybe it's even worse because you're harming many people. So finally he came to the recognition that no, that's not okay. So he comes and he says, you know, I've come to the conclusion I have to stop. So we say, good for you. So he says, but how do I do it now? So we said, how badly do you want to stop? So he says, a little bit. I realize it makes sense I should stop. And what will you do tonight if you go to a store and you don't stop? So he says, I'll feel bad about myself. So we said, okay. We tried different exercises. And it was interesting. The guy just couldn't stop. So he went to a psychologist and they said he wasn't a kleptomaniac, but when he had to think of paying for something which he knew he could get away with taking for free, well, that drove him crazy. And even though logically he said, you know, I really should stop, it's wrong, but going from the logic to the action was much harder. And the truth is that every person has this in certain areas of life where we had a guy here who had an issue with drinking. So he came to me once and he said, you know, I never realized it was an issue. A guy who did gear here a few years ago. He said, I never realized it was an issue that I was drinking. But then I decided this isn't the Torah lifestyle, I shouldn't drink at night. So I started not drinking, I started not going to the bars, and suddenly I have a nightlife. I have things to do, I get things accomplished, I make more money. Life is great. So I said, good for you. He said, oh, you know I had a problem with drinking? I said, yeah. So he said, why didn't you tell me anything? I said, yeah, you have to grow at your pace. Now that you realize it, fine, good for you. 2 months later, he stopped showing up. And he hasn't shown up since. And it's very obvious that he's back where he was. We meet in the street every so often. And he doesn't find it easy. Old habits are hard to break. And we can't judge. Every person has their habits that are hard to break. But when we look at the Torah, and we say, oh, the Torah is telling me on Shabbat I can't turn on a light. The Torah is telling me I can't drink whenever I want. I can't eat whenever I want. There's a fast day of Shavuos or Batamos. There's a fast day of Tisha B'Av. Think of it a different way. When a person does not have the Torah, he's a slave to his desires. Person, he's not in control. These guys wanted to stop shoplifting, to stop drinking. They're not in control. People who are chain smokers, they ask, how do you have religious Jews who are smokers? So I won't tell you that people who are Jewish and smoke and religious and smoke, you can't catch them at the end of Shabbos already waiting for that cigarette. At the end of Yom Kippur, they're dying to go out and have that smoke. But how do they last 24 hours without smoking? The only free person that exists on the planet is someone who has Torah. When you have Torah, then you're in control. What the Torah teaches us is how to control ourselves, to control our desires. If the Torah tells us part of the month a couple may be together, part of the month they may not be together, think of what a beautiful intimate mitzvah this is. No one knows. This is the one mitzvah that's between a husband and his wife, and no one knows. They're keeping it, they're not keeping it. Who knows? No one knows. It's between them two. And yet, home after home, and I can tell you as one who keeps getting questions from people, and Baruch Hashem, the questions are a sign that people are keeping the halachot. It's a sign that all around you people are keeping this. What is that? That's self-control. That's real freedom. When a person thinks, if I can do whatever I want, I'm free, maybe it seems that way. But then you're not in control. Your desires are in control. And, you have people time and again. You tell a criminal, you do this again, you're going to sit behind bars. And the guy says, okay, I hear, I shouldn't do it. And very shortly afterwards, you find it. I take the guy who beats his wife, take the guy who drinks and drives, take every situation. What happened there? How did it happen? Because we're not free. The Torah trains us to be in control and to be free. So the Mishnah says, I'm telling you all the blessings from learning Torah we learned previous weeks in the first Mishnah. You'll tell me, well, how come some people learn Torah and they don't have the blessings? So the Mishnah says, that's because they're not putting their all into it. So you'll say, but maybe I don't want to put my all into it. Maybe life is sweeter without it. So the Mishnah says, no, you should know, you don't put your all into learning Torah, you're not free. Then you're a slave to your desire. V'chol mishosek b'Torah tadir. And whoever deals in Torah frequently, harei ze mit'ale, he will grow. A person will say, you know, the only way you could grow in Torah is if you have a great mind and you keep working at it. So the Mishnah says, no, it's not that way. If you work at it, shekol mi shosek b'Torah tadir, whoever puts his time to learning Torah, harei ze mit'ale, he will grow. Whether you could be the genius who leads the next generation or not is yet to be known. We don't know. There are many Torah geniuses hiding among you guys. We don't know yet who's going to be the next genius. But what we do know is that, A, you can't get there without putting all the effort into it. And when you put all the effort into it, hareza mitale, then a person grows. Shenemal, the verse says, umimatana nachliel, from the gift of Torah, they went to Nachliel, which is the place where they got the inheritance of God. Umnachliel bamot, and from that inheritance, when they grew in the Torah, bamot, they went up to the higher state, and that, even though it's a description of territories which we traveled through, we read it in this past week's parasha and Maaseh, but we derive from these descriptions of the places where we traveled, that's the way a person's learning goes. From Matanah, from Torah, you get the inheritance of the Torah, and then you start growing. And every person grows. Everyone to their level. Yeah?
In the case of this, compulsive stealer guy, when he finally managed to stop doing it, isn't it part that you can make restitutions for, he's going to pass? But if he's been doing it for so long, apparently it's on different continents, how do you know that he's going to do it?
It's a good question. Thursday night, Bezrat Hashem, we'll be learning, and we could discuss that then, Bezrat Hashem. The Gemara discusses it. It's a good question. Okay. technically we're not far from concluding the sixth chapter, but being that we're nearing the end of this learning period, we're hitting Bein Hazmanim in a week and a half. What I want us to do is to pause and start reviewing, doing a quick review of the first chapters of Pirkei Avot, and then next semester, Bezrat Hashem, we'll finish this chapter. We'll go slowly and we'll review. Okay? Well, with your permission, we'll go back and start reviewing, okay? Okay.